like Dad said, what are we doing here? We're going around horrible. We just keep continually going around and going around. It's like I tried to explain to them out there in Oklahoma. And let's just make this a total analogy of everybody. If what we're doing produces red, and red's not the body change, then if we keep doing what we're doing, you remember what the definition of insanity is? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over again, expecting a different result. Everybody got that?
Yes.
Insanity is it doing like a drunk.
I've been living that for a while.
Yeah, like a drunk. A drunk will get drunk. Let's just be honest. Some of you may have been there, some of you not. Got drunk, throw up, say, I'll never do this again. I ain't never going through this no more. Till next Friday night. Then they do the same thing over again, expecting a different result. Well, that's why I was trying to speak to them out there in Oklahoma is change. We got to change something. Something's got to. We're getting the same result. If red's not the body change, and what we're doing is producing red, then we need to change what we're doing to produce green. My brother Dale's always said, if you start with a white dog in Genesis, you need to end with a white dog in Revelation. So it's continuity. We must keep continuity. Our continuity is not just believing that Brother Branham was a prophet. He was. He still is a prophet. I correct people all the time. I say, Brother Branham was a prophet. No, he not was. He still is.
Right.
When he's across current of time, he's a prophet.
Right.
But that prophet is gone.
Yes.
The real one he introduced was this one right here, and that's Christ. When Christ came down on Sunset Mountain, through William Branham, he introduced Christ like no one else had introduced him, even John the Baptist. Because remember, the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. John was there to introduce Jesus the first time. And if you'll notice, not taking away from anything of William Branham the person, but remember, the angel never said you will forerun the second coming of Christ. Read your quotes. The angel said your message will forerun the second coming of Christ. When I see the messenger's gone, but the message is continuing on to get Christ here.
Amen.
In its full form,
right,
which is the statue of a perfect man. That's God. That was Jesus walking on the shores of Galilee. Mm-hmm. Right? That was the fullness of the Godhead bodily from here down. Right? So now, we're going to continue. Can anybody see that? You okay over there? Okay. I changed the fonts to make it as big as it could. That's the biggest font they got. So, let's read this right here. Now, this is from Blasphemous Names. Now, remember, this is the end of the dream of Sister Shepherd. Alright? To kind of give you a background. This is the end of her dream. Five streams is pouring up from here into that trough down here. Remember, the man put honey in the box, which was brotherly love. See, there's your keystone, brotherly kindness. That when he was pouring it in that box, remember the stuff was coming out. But once he put that honey in, which was brotherly kindness, that held so that God could fill the person up completely. Because remember, without brotherly kindness, these kind of follow in line with each other. Amen? These follow in line with each other. And you keep having virtue, but now once you get right up here, you're getting right up to the top where everything's pushing up to the top, and then there's a bar right there. Because that's where the faith of the fathers, that's where Peter, James, John, Paul, all your New Testament early church had the faith of the fathers. So see, the faith of the fathers and the virtues are not something new. See, Brother Brown didn't come to preach a new way to get the virtues.
Right.
Peter showed us how to get them in 2 Peter. It's been since 2,000 years ago. But it's been laying in the Bible. Man's read over them, but not been able to put them together to attain to that.
Right.
So we had a prophet come in the end time. That's why Brother Branham had to come. He had to take the loose ends. He had to put this back together. Go into, where is it where Zerubbabel builds the, Zechariah.
Right.
Zerubbabel was a real man. Now what happened with Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel was the one that they come in and beforehand that somebody had destroyed the temple. I mean laid it to the foundation, destroyed it. Zerubbabel's job was to build that to start on the foundation that was already there and build the temple back up. Okay? So what happened in type is, down through the ages, man has done away with the temple. Done away with the way this thing's supposed to live, or the scriptures are supposed to be read. So it was swept off, and then Zerubbabel, the prophet, come and starts putting the building back up. All right, watch Elijah. We know that Brother Branham was the what? The fourth spirit of Elijah, right? Elijah, Elisha, John the Baptist, Brother Branham, and then one of the two witnesses going to the Jews. That's the five comings of Elijah. Now, what did Elijah do? What did the original Elijah do on Mount Carmel? Those priests tore the ark, tore the sacrifice, tore the altar down, right?
Right.
They jumped on it, beat on it, cut themselves. The Bible said that Elijah put the altar back together. Well, let's see, that's what Brother Ram did. He put that altar back, the way to worship, back together. He didn't bring something new.
Right.
He was just restoring back.
Right.
Remember, Brother Ram said this messenger of Elijah does two things. Restore the faith of the fathers to the Pentecostal babies. Faith of the fathers, Pentecostal babies. Azusa Street Pentecost started with the Holy Ghost right here at Faith, down here, right? Now, original Pentecost, James, John, Peter, the ones in the upper room, when they were birthed into the body, when God gave them the Holy Ghost, they were right here. Had these virtues working in their life because they were tutored by God Almighty Himself for 3.5 years. They had the greatest preacher to ever come on the face of the earth. We had the second greatest preacher to come on the face of the earth, Brother Branham. To do what he had to do to bring everything back together. And Jesus was doing the same thing. He was taking the Old Testament, right? Tell them, say, hey, temples are okay and buildings are okay. Sacrifices are okay. But now that's all right here.
Right.
You know what Jesus was doing? So he was taking the Old Testament and bringing it into the New Testament, which is in my blood, he said, not the blood of bulls and goats. That's the Old Testament.
Right.
The New Testament was a New Testament in my blood. Mm-hmm. So Jesus was telling them, hey, this is the temple now. Then he goes out, comes back on the day of Pentecost, and he says, now you're the temple. Right?
Right.
You're the temple. No, you're not. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's why we don't do the things that we did out in the world. Sure, we have problems, and we have trials, and we have tribulation. But when you're a born-again Christian, you change.
Right?
You change. And I ain't talking about just change one item. No, you change. I drove by Baptist Church just a few minutes ago, and they have an early church, 9 o'clock. Man gets out of his car with a pair of shorts on. Going into church with a pair of shorts on. Women with their pants on. But you see what's happened. Man has rejected the Word, and once they've rejected the Word, I was reading it last night. Brother Brown said, they have become lodges. So that's all they are. They're just a meeting place for like the Elks Club or, I'm sorry, but that's what he said. He says, just a Goodfellas lodge, a place to go to lodge. And I don't want that to be here. I don't want just to come together just to be a lodge. Or for us to just come and say, well, I got to come to church. You know, I hate this. It's something I hate. I hate somebody say, I got to come to church so they won't say anything about me. Or I got to go to church or Brother Wade's going to preach on. No, if you don't have a desire to come to church yourself, you're not born again.
Right.
Period. And it ain't me. It's not me. You're not. What did Peter say? Peter said, you're not lying against the Holy Ghost. I mean, you're not lying against me. You're lying against the Holy Ghost.
Right.
One of you two.
There's a song that we sing, there are places where I can't go.
Yeah.
I sing where I won't go.
Yeah.
Because I can go if I want.
Sure, you can.
Right.
We're still free moral agents. But we, and you know what? God honor, and that's why I think about these virtues. Once you say, God, I know I need knowledge. Boy, he's so happy with that. I love it when Deanna comes up and says, "Papa, I need you to help me in this math, with this math problem." Now, boy, you're talking about making me feel good. I wouldn't care if you handed me $10,000. I'd give you the $10,000 back and took what she said. Because you know what? That's part of me. That's the virtue she's drawing from me, the strength she's drawing from me. And it may just be carnal and natural, which that's okay. But still, the way it makes me feel. Well, see, that's the same way with God. When you go to God and say, "God, I can't understand what Brother Dale's saying. But you said that even an illiterate person could understand this. So you're going to have to help me." And you know what? He's like, "Man, greater than 10 billion worlds to him." When you come to Daddy and say, "Daddy, I need some help," what are you going to say?
I'm just going to say, Brother Branham said, if God's in our heart, we can't wait.
Wait for the doors to open. That's right. That's what I said. Many people in the Scripture, it says that much more as the day approaches. I think people think we're going backwards and not approaching the day, because I guess one service fills you up now. But you know what? It's not a ritual, though. It should never be a ritual.
That's right.
It should never be that I'm going to come to church so that Brother Wade won't get on to me. That's wrong. You need to stay at home.
Right.
But you know what? If you stay at home, you ain't got God in your heart.
Right.
So, you can go here or there, whatever you want to. I told them out in Oklahoma about Brother Ryan and Sister Gabby. And we won't get far with this one today. But I told them about them. Their baby laying in a hospital in an intensive care unit, and they are in, you know what, they're honoring God. God said, "Put me first."
That's right.
Now, you think that's something. Some people looked at me like they, you know, they were crazy. I said, "Listen, a man walked out of the woods one day, and there was a drought in the land. He probably ain't had a bath in months. Hair down to here, and the Bible said he had camel hair around his waist. He walks up to a widow woman that don't even have a husband. Am I okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to preach this morning.
Go ahead.
He walks up to a widow woman. They don't have but one little handful of meal left. They ain't got Walmart to go to. They don't have anywhere. She's got one hand. She said, she probably got up that morning and said, "Look, son," because she had a son. She said, "Son, it's all we got. I'm going to bake this and feed it to you, because I don't want you to die first." Because that's what it said,
right?
You know what the Bible said? A man, a stranger, walks up. "Fix me some of that bread." You know what he said? I don't, he didn't even ask.
I think he said first.
Yeah. Yeah, he said, "You made me one first." Now, how many of you would have slammed the door in a man's face and said, "You go find your own"? When you got a kid that's probably 50 pounds underweight, hadn't eaten, he's fixing to eat his last meal, and a stranger walks up that looks like a bum off the street and goes, "You fix me one first." That's what I thought about when I thought about them. See, we seek other things, and you know, Jesus said, he was even talking about funeral. He said, "You should forsake father, mother, sister, brother." A lot of you, and I'm going to go, I'm laying it out. A lot of you, some of you kids will come to your house and you'll lay out of church. That's wrong. You're giving them an impression that they are more important. Now, I'm going to tell you something. My father-in-law, he comes to my house on Sunday. He knows for a fact he's either going to sit there by himself or he's going to come to church with us. There's not an option. Because you know what? You're presenting to them something wrong if you put them first. Sorry. Jesus said, forsake father, mother, sister, brother, and follow me. But you know what? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Then all these other things. What we do is we have fear that God's not going to do what He says. That's why we're still here. That's the bottom line. We're afraid that God can't do. And what was Eve's problem? Eve's problem was she was afraid that God couldn't produce what He said He was going to produce. That's what Brother Brown said.
That's right.
So she went ahead of God's program and produced, well, look at this. This is what she produced. Evil. You know, all this stuff. Brother, Hank.
I got a message the other day on my phone from my wife. I had to go to the hospital. It said it got 20 angels in my life. Gentlemen's asleep, nine's playing and one's reading this message. He said, God's going to work wonders in your life. And tomorrow will be a big day in your life. And the next day, walking into the institution. Before we went to the doctor's office, I asked her, I said, come sit down. And I held her hand and prayed. I said, God, let the day be a change for my life. And by that night at 4 o'clock, she was in the hospital. So y'all all pray for her, please.
But you know what? She's got to see a change in your life. You're the head. You're the head. You're the head. To be honest, really, we're the head. We were talking about this last night, remember? We always talk about homosexuality and everybody. What's the first thing, when somebody says homosexual, what do you think of? Male. Bible doesn't say that. The women became affected with each other first. Likewise, the men. Because if the women turn against the men's going to do something. It's proven by the priest. Priests can't have wives, so what do? They're going to have kids. It's a spirit. I mean, it's a spirit that we get on with. And it's a demon, it's own sister. Martha, honestly, it's the devil.
I believe that.
We don't need to pray for her as much as we need to pray that she'll be strong and we'll be strong with her to drive that unclean spirit out, because we can do that. As a bride of Jesus Christ, we are stronger than any demon.
That's right.
Amen.
But now what we do is, though, we have fear. And that's what I told Ryan. I said, you take that fear into that room with that baby, she has no defense against that.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? They really enjoyed that in Oklahoma. You got to think that. Because remember, we'll do this next Sunday. Remember, a human doctor is only trying to keep your body alive so that your soul will stay in your body. You got that? Because they cannot cure your soul. They cannot cure your spirit. They can only try to make that body function to keep that soul in that body. Now that's what a doctor's to do, right? So it doesn't matter then how many tubes are sticking in the child, baby, man, whoever. It doesn't matter what they're, you know, the doctor says, well, you know, she needs this and he needs this. And they're just trying. But see, you and I, though, we're a soul. That's what I was telling Ryan. I said, Ryan, you go in that room. Remember, I said, you go in that room with fear. That baby's going to feel fear and it's going to have a problem because it has nothing in that soul to combat that. It's just a baby. Don't know any different. But when you take a situation and you take the fear out and you walk in and say, by his stripes they're healed, and I'm not looking at how many tubes are stuck in that baby. I'm not looking at how much this chart is. Remember Brother Brandon with the man and the woman? The nurse says, they're dying. They're dying. That poor old man just put his arms around us and says, honey, you're looking at your machines. You're just looking at your machines. Well, that's what I'm talking about. You're just looking at the machine. The machine is trying to keep the body there. Go into the soul. Go into that soul of that person. That's where this comes from. Virtue. Virtue came out of Peter. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. He didn't have to go find it. He didn't have to go call somebody. He already had it. So that's the same way with these virtues. And as we start next Sunday, because we're going to have to head this thing up in Christ. And it's not that Christ is coming. He's already here. Okay? He's here. He was here. And let's not think of this as, because you go, and this is from partial to perfect. This is the same thing. Everybody understand that? This is partial faith. Well, listen. If you got one teaspoon of ocean water, Brother Brown, remember he told this. This is real simple, but very profound. If you take one teaspoon, now you've got every ingredient that's in the ocean, that's billions and billions and billions of gallons. You've got every element that's in that all over the world. You've got it in that one teaspoon. Everybody got that?
Right.
So when you receive the new birth, you get a dip. You've got everything that the Holy Ghost includes right there in that teaspoon. But now God wants to give you the whole ocean. This is the whole ocean. Actually, when we take a body change, that's the whole ocean. That's why Brother Dale's talking about the promise. The promise is the body change.
Right.
That's our ultimate promise. They couldn't receive that in the Old Testament. They couldn't even receive the partial of the promise. Because they didn't receive the new birth. But now see, though Paul says they without us, well now Paul become a they. Well now all those down through that, they did receive part of the promise. They received the dip. But right here, when we come to the end time, Jesus wasn't just a dip in the ocean.
Right.
He was the ocean.
Yeah.
He was the inexhaustible fountain. He was the full ocean. He wasn't a dip. But now see, when he come back on the day of Pentecost, he took little licks of fire and give it to 120 and then 3,000, and then we see the multiplication of God. But now we come down to the end time to where all those have gone on. They're gone. There's nothing. You know, Paul can't help us anymore. Reading Paul's writings can. Same way with Brother Branham. He's gone. But trusting what he's already said, rapture and faith lays in the books and tape. He didn't say on, he said in. So it's not just it's not just reading what he said. That's on the book. But in them means inside. Inside there is a revelation that you and I are going to have to come to. And that's the same way with here. That's why that this is one of the most ill-taught subjects in the message. Nobody talks about statue of perfect man. They said, oh, you got it all when you believe. Well, you do. The teaspoon.
Yeah, right.
All the elements you got.
Right.
But God's not satisfied with that. Or he'd have just said, okay, now once you get that, you're all ready to hear. No, he didn't waste space in 2 Peter.
Right.
2 Peter said, add to your faith. Because Brother Brown said, power without character. We already been through this. Power. You got the power. Power without these character virtues are satanic. And you know what? Right here in Blasphemous Names, he said, I'll read it in a little while. I'll read it next Sunday. It says, these virtues are a stumbling block to the unbeliever. Because if you're a Christian, and then you go out here and you throw a temper tantrum right in the middle of Walmart. Now, an unbeliever is going to look at you and go, what are you? What are you? Are you? You're acting like me. See, that's what I mean. We got to quit acting like the world. We got to start acting like God. That's why these are godly virtues. These are not man's virtues at all. This has nothing to do with man. Once you enter into this kingdom, the world shut out and God does this. But now remember, Brother Brown said, you can stop them at any time. You can stop these virtues at any time. You say, well, I can't have temperance. Well, you know what? God can't help you. Because he's not going to override your free moral agency. Right up to the chains of the body, he's still got to be a free moral agent, or he can't judge righteously if he says, that's what, you know, a lot of these people say, well, I come here with eternal life. That's okay in the mind of God, absolutely. But now, when you come down here in your own body, you're a sinner.
That's right.
On your way to hell.
That's
right?
Right.
God brings that representation down and burns out that old nature.
Right.
Puts his soul in. Not brings you another one.
Right.
He puts his soul in there. And then you and him become vulcanized together. And the only time Brother Brown talks about vulcanizing is in the statue of a perfect man.
Right.
He said God vulcanizes what? Burns it together.
Mm-hmm.
Then you become a statue of a living God.
Right.
Different.
Right.
Act different. Talk different.
When you were talking about them, what I say with them and their baby and the situation they were in, Revelations 12.
Yep.
They overcame that fear and that demon that was trying to take their baby.
Right.
They didn't listen to those doctors.
Right.
They came right on the church
right.
and held their faith.
Right.
Just like the woman in Revelation right. 12 did.
Well, let me finish my story. There's a brother out there. His name's Mark Stieber. And he came to church, but his mother's like 90 years old. There's nobody, he has no siblings, nothing to take, nobody to take care of his mother. So he has to care, he chooses not to put her in a nursing home. He's going to care for her till she dies. Wonderful brother, he watches online and he may be watching this later on. Because he called me after that, crying like a baby. He said, I feel so ashamed. He said, those two came to church and their baby was dying. And I can't come to church and my mother's laying here. I mean, she's not an invalid, but she just can't care for herself. She's 90.
Right.
So that really put a a burden on his heart to do, you know, try to do better. And you know, pay attention to what's going on in the godly realm. Not just the human realm, but in the godly realm. But that really touched his heart. He said, I feel so ashamed. And you do need to be in church. I mean, you need to be where you can get your fuel. This is a fuel. This is my refueling. I have to get refueled. I get empty real quick. And I get hungry real quick. Go ahead. Real quick.
One of my problems, I feel ashamed about getting my wife here when she winds up there. So I feel responsible as the demon is in her.
Mm-hmm.
And that demon, that mental problem, has got to go. So I'm going to go get what it takes to get rid of that.
Yeah. That's what you got to do. You got to present yourself a living sacrifice so that people will. That's what I said about an example. How are you going to be? You're a stumbling block if you consider yourself a Christian and then you don't act like it.
Right.
You don't act like it. Not only people around you see it, you know God sees it, but the people around you see it, it becomes a stumbling block. That's what's happened in the past. People said, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, and then we act the way we do.